There's so many things there that I think one of the things that became evident in the last conversation, looking at strategies at the sixth, is that creation happens choice point up and implementation happens choice point down. You don't create fourth down, you implement what you envision and imagine at sixth. And if you don't do that, then what's left for you to implement is rinse and repeat. So kind of like little tweaks to what you're already doing. The thing that happens when you enter a conversation of strategies at the sixth and you hold it there, you do not permit yourself to fall below fifth, you discover very quickly that in the void, there is no value in deceiving yourself. Whereas fourth down, deceiving yourself is the primary strategy. We learn to lie to ourselves. We learn to hide ourselves. We learn to mask who we are. We become chameleons and we accommodate. Those are all deceptionist strategies at the fourth to be able to get through our days. It does not exist at the sixth. So when you begin to explore strategies at the sixth, there is no place for deception to hide. And there's a panic that goes on in the body because those are the things we know, which means you have to be willing to stay in what you don't know. And for all of us, that's a challenge. That's a scary place for us to be. The other thing that I think really begins to become evident when you're in a discussion of strategies at the sixth is that I think the experience that Stella had in Toronto with 700 people in a room really speaks to the degree to which culture is terrified by intimacy. And to create strategies at the sixth demands intimacy. So since we are not in the business of solving a problem, we're in the business of transforming a life. Intimacy is a non-negotiable. What happens in code model coaching and what happens in decloaking is intimacy becomes the norm. And you watch people blossom. You watch people wake up and come alive and get excited about discovering who they are. And that demands intimacy. And intimacy demands safety. And there is no safety in a room with 700 people. However, those 700 people, in their hunger for whatever they're looking for, are still drawn into those conversations because they don't know where else to look. And I was saying earlier before we started officially, this idea of educate, educate, educate is absolutely essential. And educate, educate, educate does not mean a program room for 5 days with wall charts. It means intimacy. It means authenticity. It means introducing a new thought. But you got to be ballsy. Whether it's in your family systems or your personal relationships or your colleagues or your clients or whatever it is, takes a lot of courage to introduce a new thought structure into a world that survives on patterns and habits and repetition. So when you dare to actually say what you know is possible, that is you in the flow of educate, educate, educate. Because what you've just done is you've opened a space for another human being to have their mind expand to include an as yet unidentified potential. And if you don't open your mouth and you don't bring it into the conversation, it's missed. Because it's only there because you put it there. So if you don't put it there, it's not there. It's not rocket science. And how many times do you walk away from conversations knowing, I could have asked that question, or I could have let her know about this conversation, conversations that heal, igniting, whatever it happens to be. I could have let her know about the 1 hour free decloaking file, if you're interested. If you're curious, you seem to be curious and looking for something else. Here's something that I know was extremely beneficial to me. But you have to decloak. You have to own it. You have to claim it for yourself, and you have to reveal that it has had an effect on your life. And then let it go. It's not up to you to transform somebody else. But if you don't reveal, there's no provocation. And you'll notice, and if you pay attention to your conversations, if you don't reveal, you find yourself commiserating in their misery. Yeah, that's really awful. Oh, that shouldn't have happened. Oh, that was really unlucky. Blah, blah, blah. Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. No room for that in strategies of the sixth. The tolerance for bullshit at that level is like minus six. So you can feel that when you're in those conversations for that length of time that we were in, your body is looking for a breath of fresh air. Forgetting you're the breath of fresh air that you're looking for. So there's so much there about how much intimacy can you tolerate? How much intimacy can you seed in a space where intimacy has never been welcome? That's a fun one. You really want to know what you're made of? Try that one on. How willing are you to have a conversation about potential with other people where you focus them on potential experienced versus potential discussed are not the same thing? How do you choose to explore potential through experience? It means you got to do something you never did before. So that reminder that, I speak for myself. I'm not here to solve a problem. I'm here to transform lives. So at some level, at some point in time, you have to get clear for yourself what you're here for, which is what the whole signal conversation is about, right? There's an incredible thing that goes on when you actually fully own the I am that I am is God self. Because the I am that I am does not need a plan. I just know. So in that place at six and up, in that place, I just know. And things move and interconnect, and I just know. So when I'm down here, fourth down, and living my life, I don't have to have a plan because I recognize the moment the invitation presents for six to be in flow. So I don't take what is alive and moving at six and try to compress it into a go here, go there, do this, do that on this date for how long, et cetera. Because when the moment presents for me to quote unquote do something, I recognize it and I do it. And typically what it's going to demand of me is that I open my mouth and I say something. I ask something. I, God forbid, challenge something. I disagree with something. But I come out of the closet on my own vision and I bring it into my experience in a physical world. That alone is disruptive. That puts a vibration through matter that matter notices. But when the moment presents and I don't engage it, all I have left is to commiserate with the status quo. And everybody goes, oh, phew, thank God she kept her mouth shut. Right? Because everybody knows if she doesn't keep her mouth shut, everybody's going to get uncomfortable. And what are we going to do with all that uncomfortable? Because when things are right in the world, it's supposed to be comfortable. I don't think so. I don't think that's how it works. So trusting that my relationship to my capital S self that lives above sixth, now after all these years, is so strong, I don't need content. And as I'm living my life moment to moment to moment, constantly I'm getting signals over here, over here. Notice this, pay attention to this, share that thought, ask that question, and I just do it. Because this device is just the mouthpiece for that signal. So why would I not follow the prompts? Because in those moments, I'm doing exactly what the void is offering me to be done, so my vision manifests. But don't blame the void if you don't follow the prompts and your vision doesn't manifest. You know, or don't blame the void if you only follow 30% of the prompts and you get like a half-assed version of whatever it is that you wanted, because you did that. It's not like the void let you down. You know, it's not like the void disappointed you. It's that you weren't paying attention. That's how powerful we are. And we forget. So, you know, one of the things that I found really encouraging about the whole experience with Stella in Toronto is that out of all that time and all those conversations, one person chose to move forward in her life. Awesome. And there's one person who is never going to lose herself again if she stays in the conversation. If she doesn't stay in the conversation, that's the power of the default. If you don't stay in this one, all that's left is the default. And the default wants you asleep. You know, make no mistake about that, because you're a pain in the ass when you're awake. And you ask all those questions and you follow those prompts, and people get uncomfortable and they don't like it. Well, you know, they'll live. They might, because of that discomfort, they may actually live longer.